I want to talk to you tonight about heaven's secret servants, service agency. Where'd that come from? Well, there is a background to this sermon. And last night, when the news came on about what was happening to President Trump, all I could see was just, there's something special happening here. You and I need to understand that as we look at those things on television, we ought not to look at it Republican or Democrat, you know, red or blue, whatever that is all about. But there's a visual lesson. And in the next day or so, and who knows, by Wednesday night, it may not even be on the news, but you watch the news, and what they're going to show. They're going to show things over and over and over again. And so what happened last night has brought to the front the fact that there is a secret service that is there for the president. An older preacher when I was a younger preacher, and he is long deceased, says, I try in my life to see a sermon about everything that's happening. I changed sermons last night because I knew that this audience would have watched what happened, and I want you to see what happened. I want you to recall what you saw as the president was, was taken off that stage. And as they took him over to the ambulance and they took him over in the car, and he was surrounded by about 10 individuals. If you want to change the slide, we're now down onto the third slide. You and I need to understand that as you see it all happen, you need to recall what you saw. And there's a lesson that every time you see it, I think you need to think about the spiritual application of that lesson. There were at least 10 agents that were there. And they were there, surrounded the car, and when they put him in that ambulance, I don't know how much you watched, but they were there carrying him. Let's go to the next two slides, please. Please keep up. And as there were those 10 individuals who were there, agents who were there surrounding his car, and they had one task, and that task was to protect the president at all cost. In fact, as he left the stage, they surrounded him, and because he was so tall, once he stood up, his head was above the heads of even those agents who were surrounding him. And if you look carefully, they've got their arms up to protect his head even more. And they were there. It was their job to protect the president. And they did everything they could to protect him. Now the point of this lesson is, they were secret service. I'm not sure how much the president knew and all the details about what was involved in the protecting of it. I'm sure he knew that there was Secret Service protection because he was aware of it. That's what presidents and former presidents have. But he didn't need to know the details because there is a security that comes from knowing that there are others who are watching out for you. And even if he didn't know it, even he wasn't able to figure out exactly who was supposed to do what at all of this, you need to understand that it was a secret thing. And there's a lesson that we need. They were there. They were so invisible that when he was first speaking, they were almost invisible. But when the shots rang out, as you see it on the news, I want you to see those agents coming up from the left of the stage and coming up from the right of the stage. I want you to see them as they hovered over the president, lay their bodies down on top of him. They were invisible, except when they were needed, they became so very visible. Secret Service, that's what it does. Not only were they secret, but they were servants. That's exactly what they were. They were servants. And you and I need to understand that there is another secret service that protects you. That's tonight's lesson. I want to talk to you tonight about heaven's secret servants. You can't see them, but just like the president has been told by those he's trusted, they were there, whether he knew it or not. And I want you to know that there are secret service that are taking care of you, even though you cannot see it, because you trust the one who says, I am providing a secret service for you. That's reality. Now let's look at the text. Very simple text. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. To which of the angels did he ever say, at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He never said it to any angels. I want you to understand that there's not a single angel to whom Jesus ever said, sit here at my right hand. But he did say it to the Son. And the whole argumentation of Hebrews chapter 1 is, you want to compare the messenger that brought the Old Testament law, with the messenger of God who brought the New Testament law. They were angels. Here's the Son. He's not an angel. Then it says, I want you to know they are ministering servants. Who's they? The angels? How many of the angels are? Every one of them is a ministering servant. Look at the word all from this text. How many angels are there? The book of Revelation, John says, I saw, you know, depending on which translation, myriads of angels. The King James and the New King James talks about 10,000 times 10,000 angels. How many is that? And thousands of angels. And every single one of them has been sent forth to minister to the saints. Let's go back and look at those slides again that says they were servants. They'd given all they had to one task. And then I asked the question in that previous slide, are you aware that there are other secret agents? Look at the text. But we re-asked that text again. Are you aware that there are other secret servants? And we substitute the words, for you. That's what the text says. Are you one who is an heir of eternal salvation? Then 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels have been sent forth. You'll not see them. But one who can trust says, Here is the work I have given to myriads and myriads of angels. And that is to go out and to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. I want to show to you tonight that the Bible gives brief and brief glimpses into angels and the work that they do. And we turn our attention now away from a secret service that protects some man and turn our attention to another secret agency. If you think the president is blessed because there are secret agents that take care of him everywhere he goes, get ready. Sometimes they fail. And there have been times when presidents have been assassinated. There have been other attempts on other presidents to assassinate him. And you and I need to understand that what we saw last night needs to remind us, as we see it over and over again, of every one of those agents. I don't know how many were there. All of a sudden, there's guys in uniform, military men, marching in as he was carried to the car. There's a host of military officers coming in. There's the SWAT team that's already rushed in, and they're standing on the stage. They're ready to take care of the president. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you had something like that in your life? I want you to know, you have got something better than any president has ever had. You have heaven's secret servants. But they're only brief glimpses of it. It's amazing how many times the word angels is mentioned in the Bible. The word angel or angels is found in the Old Testament in the King James Version 117 times. In the New Testament, it's found 180 times. And in the total Bible, angels are mentioned 297 times. The New King James, in three places, does not translate that word angel, but 294 times you read about angels in the Bible. I'm thankful that there are those glimpses in the Bible where there are angels present. Many times, whenever those angels are present, it is because of the fact it is a miracle that is involved. And I'm not talking about God miraculously sending angels. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Bible means when it talks about, but that does not mean that God is not protecting us. And that's what the rest of this lesson says. You look at the background of this very sermon, and you will recognize that parts of this sermon were presented before there ever was COVID. Do you remember 2 years ago when it was pre-COVID and instead of meeting that one Sunday, we were not allowed to meet, you know, in groups larger than 50 as the first hindrance of trying to assemble met us, and we met six times outside in groups of 50. And I preached a part of this sermon then. We talked about that sermon and talked about looking at the birds as evidence of God's providence. That's a visual. And it was rather ironic. And that is when I got back, one of those times I was preaching the sermon and a flock of birds flew in and landed on the grass out there behind me while I was speaking. I was not aware of it. And somebody mentioned it to it about it. And I said, well, aren't you glad I wasn't preaching about the Lord, you know, or the beware of Satan, he sent forth as a roaring lion, you know. and a whole group of lions came on the grass behind me. I'm not saying God sent the birds, don't misunderstand. But we've talked about this before. And I don't want to rehearse all that we talked about when we talked about look at the birds. They sow not, neither do they reap. And if God takes care of birds, are you not worth more than they? And that's a direct command. Don't just look at a television and see some physical manifestation of a secret service. But every time you hear a bird sing, every time one flies by you, every time you see a bird flying around, God says, look at it. There's a lesson to be learned. You need to see a sermon in everything that happens in your life. Look at the birds. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, 1/8 of 1 cent? And yet I say unto you, that not one bird, not one sparrow falls to the earth without your Father. The Greek word for falling to the earth is not he's up flying around and he has a heart attack and he nosedives and hits down on the earth. The Greek word, he alights on the earth. And the Bible says, if that is true and if that is what that Greek word indicates, as that bird leaves one branch of a tree and flies over to another, the God of heaven is aware of that bird alighting on this earth. There are at least 400 billion birds. 7 billion people, 400 billion birds. And there's not a bird that falls to the ground, that alights anywhere without your Father. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Are you not worth more than they? This is not an apology about preaching something I've preached before. Because preaching involves teaching things that are old and new. Things old, things you're not aware of, or things that you are aware of, and things new, new truths. And so Jesus says in the 8th parable in Matthew chapter 13, he says, every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven. I want you to see this is an uninspired scribe. His job is to copy the law. But in copying the law about the kingdom of heaven, he would learn so many things about the kingdom of heaven. And every scribe, uninspired, like every Bible teacher, like every Bible preacher that is studying the Word, is like that scribe who goes into his treasure and finds things old and things new. Think about the power, David, of your sermon this morning. If you've grown up in the church, there were things that you've heard 20 years or more. Was it refreshing? A scribe instructed in the kingdom of God goes into the scriptures, and he's not trying to preach something new and exciting. He's trying to remind us that here's the treasure and the responsibility. I remember as a young preacher thinking, I've got to come up with something new. I've got to come out with something different. And there are some preachers today in the church who think they've got to come out with something different. And they lose the scripture, they lose the scribe, that which has been written, they've not been instructed in the kingdom of God, and they try to look out here in the world and find something exciting. The exciting things are in the scriptures. Look at the birds. Is that exciting? Meditate on the law of the Lord. Don't just read a verse. What does this verse say? Verses that say, are not every one of the myriads of angels sent forth to minister to members of the church? Meditate on that. And he brings out of his treasure things old and things that are new. And how exciting it is to open the scriptures and find treasures in it. That Monday night class that we're having as we're studying the book of Acts, and the attendance has increased, and I'm thankful that there are others who are coming to the Monday night class. How many times have you studied the book of Acts? I told them when we began the study, we're not in any hurry to finish. We may be in the book of Acts for the next 3 years. And we're delving into it and trying to find things that are in the text that we may never have seen. Things old and things new, and they are equally exciting. And the responsibility of preachers and teachers is to not think they've got to find something new and exciting for it to be interesting. Thank you, Joe Maloney, for tonight going to Matthew's account and 1 Corinthians account in relationship to the Lord's Supper and reminding me the very thing David tried to see when they messed up the Lord's Supper in Corinth. Paul says, I want to remind you that the same night Jesus took That same night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and this is what he did. And when we eat the bread, when we drink the cup, we need to see that as a treasure from God. That's a part of the treasure that God gives to us. That preaching involves teaching things that are old and new is seen in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1 and 2, and then again in verse 17. Peter writes, this is in 2 Peter, I now write unto you a second epistle, and in both of them I stir up your minds by the way of remembrance, by a reminder of things that you already know. I make no apologies for preaching a sermon I've preached before. It's timely. And it fits what's happening in our lives right at this very moment. Go home and watch the news tonight. But he said, you already know these. But preaching, teaching is designed to stir up those whose minds are pure as you remind them of things they already know, that you may be mindful of the words. See the S on the word? Words. Spoken in the Old Testament by the prophets and of the commandment and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, New Testament. That's the treasures. But they already knew them. So in verse 17, he closes the book by saying, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest anyone rob you of your steadfastness being led by the evil ways of the wicked. You know it. But I'm going to preach in both of these epistles things you already know. Don't hesitate and think that Bible study involves constantly learning new things. There are treasures to be found in that which is known. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1, this time in verse 12 through 15. He says in verse 12 of first, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, "For this reason I will not neglect to remind you of all these things, though you know them." I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that I shortly shall put off my tabernacle just as the Lord Jesus has showed me. And now, as an older preacher, I read these verses. Shortly I must put off this tabernacle. For the Lord has said to me, "It's appointed unto man once to die. I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Let's talk about angels. Angels are created beings. These are truths we know. There are things about these secret servants that God has, heaven's secret service, we do not know. But we know that the Lord created angels. In Psalm 148, he talks about the angels, and that's in verse 2. And in verse 5, it says, all of these were created. All the angels are created beings. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is the Son of God. And so the statement is, all of the angels are created beings. That much we know. When they were created, I do not know. They were evidently there at the creation, because he states in this whole psalm about the heavens and the heavenly bodies and the host of heavens that God has created. And when you get to verse 5, having mentioned angels and the universe, he says all of these were created by God. Angels have a rank. There are some angels that are greater than other angels. They are archangels. But the rank of angels is, they are a little higher than people. How do we know that? Because Hebrews chapter 2 says about Jesus, he who is the creator of the world was made to be a little lower than the angels. You need to understand, when Jesus was on this earth, there is a way in which he was lower than the angels. But what is true of Jesus is true of all of us. Psalms chapter 8. We know Psalms chapter 8. And this very word that talks about being lower than angels. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him, mankind, a little lower than the angels. Angels are above us. And so we're not like the president, protected by some people that are equal in our ranks culturally and in our society, lower in rank than the president, but they're all humans. But there are myriads of angels that are higher than us that's been sent forth to minister to us. Can I give you a fascinating verse to look at? I'm not going to put it on the screen. You may want to turn your Bible over to the book of Daniel, because Daniel had been praying. And in Daniel chapter 10, he had kept praying, and his desire was to find the answer to all of this. And finally, he says in verse 10 of chapter 10, he says, "Suddenly a hand touched me and made me to tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands." And he said, "Daniel, you are greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. while he was speaking the word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your hearts to understand and to humble yourself before the Lord, your words were heard. Not immediately. Your words were heard and not answered immediately. And I have come because you've prayed. And then he says, but I was delayed. Angels' power is limited. And in one of the most fascinating verses in the Bible, and when I read this verse, you'll be more fascinated. And any questions you have about this, the answer is, I don't know. I only know what's in the text. He says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And Michael, one of the other princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. I didn't come immediately. I came there, intended to be there immediately. But I don't have unlimited power. Some way, somehow, and the answer to any question you have to this, if you ask me, is, I don't know. And had I needed to know, would not God have told me? Withstood him. But another angel came and helped me respond to your prayer. Myriads of angels, not just one angel, myriads of angels. Can I talk to you about angels and little children? Hang on just a minute. I want to come out here and talk to some little children and let them know that there's something in the Bible that Jesus said. You guys have heard, have you not, about Jesus coming and they brought children to him? You know that story that's in the Bible? And there are some people says, don't bring those children to them. They're not important. You need to hear what Jesus says. You let little children come to me. Isn't that pretty good? God's not just concerned about grown-ups, but he's concerned about me. Can I read to you the words of Matthew's account about Jesus? And you can read this in your own Bible. If you can read it all, you can turn to Matthew chapter 18. And let me just read it to you, okay? When you get home, okay, you can look at it then. Here's something in the Bible about you. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for them if a millstone, a big old rock, was hung around his neck and he was drowned out in the ocean. Little ones who believe. And I know you believe in Jesus. And Jesus says in verse 5, whoever receives one of these little ones like me in the name of the disciple receives me. God put these words in the Bible so you would understand this. And then he says, verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels, your angels, in heaven, your angels behold the face of the Father who's in heaven. Don't you destroy the faith of these people. And don't you be that person who, when you're asked to teach these children, little ones who believe are too busy. That's what they did to Jesus. And Jesus says, hang on. They have angels in the presence of God. And I think the implication is, if you destroy the faith of one of these little ones who believe, their angels are going to tell God what you've done. It's a pretty good verse, isn't it? But it's not just angels. It's all of us who are the heirs of eternal salvation. And what a lesson that is for us to learn. But there are things and questions that we have that we'll never be able to understand because their work is secret. It's sort of like the providence of God. It's secret. Did God help me in this? Did God help me in that? I don't care. I just know every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. It's vital to remember, and listen to this point. It's the whole point of this lesson. If you miss this point, you'll walk away not understanding and robbing yourself and maybe allowing yourself to be misled. Not to go beyond what the text says. I do not know how angels work in my life. And neither do you. It's only when there's a revelation from heaven that by inspiration a man can say, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion. Who's that? A prophet of God, David. Are you sure, David? I'm a prophet. And the Lord delivered me. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, were you delivered from the lions? Yes. Why? I'm a prophet. And the Lord sent an angel, hear that, to stop the mouth of that lion. I don't know how they work. But listen to this verse. I read a verse to the little children. Let me read a verse to every one of you about heaven and angels and your protection. Psalms 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Myriads of angels sent forth, and they surround. In Psalms 125, verse 2, David again says, as the mountains surrounds Jerusalem, so God has surrounded his people, those that fear him. You need to understand that there are famines and that impacts righteous people like it impacts the unrighteous. But providence says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and I'll provide for you. And when you are surrounded by myriads of things that could destroy your faith, you need to understand that one angel killed 185,000 military soldiers of the Syrian army in one night. Is God in your presence? Yes. Would it have happened if there had not been angels? If I hadn't prayed about this, would this have never happened? Here I know this much, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And you know that in your life, because you as a Christian can understand that many good things have come down, many good things have happened to you. And whether angels were in it, whether it was an answer to prayer or not, doesn't make any difference. It came from God. And you can believe that God is going to take care of you. The angels of the Lord ministered to Jesus in Gethsemane. Single angel did. How do I know? The Bible says it. But have there not been times in your life when you can look back and say, I don't know how it all happened, but I've made it through it. And I thank God, even though I do not know how He helped me in every detail, I thank God that when I pillow my head tonight, and if I should die, this book says, angels will take me like it did the poor beggar and carried him to the other side. The angels of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. And when you die, the angels of the Lord ministering to you, no reference to the angels and the rich man, the angels of the Lord there to minister to you. And I'm thankful. I am thankful that God has revealed these things to me. And though I cannot know about the answer to prayers, nor do I know all the way that providence works, I know that some way, somehow, that 10,000 times 10,000 angels have been sent to minister to those who are saints. It's not that children have a single guardian angel. I want you to know that they're angels. Behold the face of the Father. And since there are only 7 billion people, and many of them are not righteous, and if there are 10,000 times 10,000 angels, multitudes of angels are here to minister to you. So in the midst of the darkest hour, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. God's secret servants. How they do it, I don't know. That they do it, the God who cannot lie says, yes, and they will. But the question is, are you an heir of salvation? The sermon doesn't apply to those who are not Christians. Forget it. There's nothing about angels encompassing the self around the lives of those who are not His children and those who do not fear the Lord. But if you fear the Lord, you'll do what He said. Don't tell me you believe in the Lord if you're not going to do what He says. He says to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. To turn away from wrong in your life. And the struggle you may have now and all of your life, recognize you are not alone in this battle once you become a child of God. If you'll change your life, But if you believe in Jesus and you have not repented, you need to repent tonight and confess that you believe He's the Son of God, and then be baptized into the family of God, into the church of God, with Christ as your older brother and myriads of angels to protect you. And then be faithful. David's prayer was heard. Daniel's prayer was heard. And God sent an angel to answer his prayer. From the first day he prayed it, even though 21 days had passed, God sent it the first day. And that's what God will do for you. If you're His child, and if you're His faithful child, look at the board. Am I a Christian? Am I a faithful Christian? And if you're not, will you not tonight become a faithful Christian by coming to the front as together we stand and sing? Will you come?